Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is hosting this Elder Care Radio program because we know the importance of bringing more and better information to the community. We really appreciate the calls that we've been receiving each week after the show. The questions you ask sometimes surprise us, but the questions are a great way to find out what you, the community, want to know. So we welcome your calls. Telephone number 435-477-6999. We also know that for every one person that calls us with a question, there are many more that have that same question.
That's right. We bring the best content and information to help our senior community to be cared for. And we hope that you trust us to continue to bring more information to you and the rest of the community. And now I'd like to ask you a favor. You know somebody, maybe a neighbor, a friend, a family member that could gain from the information that we are bringing each week. I want you to ask them to listen in.
Or even better, listen together. Connect with them on the phone while you're listening so that you can listen together and share. If they aren't here in Southern Utah, that is okay, because KDXU streams live on the internet. So they can listen to this broadcast live from almost anywhere in the world. Andy, how does somebody do that?
Well, you know, we have an app, so you can go to the App Store and just search KDXU. You can download the app, and that actually works really handy with the mobile devices. If you want to listen to your computer, just go to 890kdxu.com and click on the Listen Live button.
Appreciate that. And if they can't listen live, they can catch every broadcast on our website, pathwayhospicecare.com.
That's right. We've talked about being your own best medical advocate because that is the best way for you to get the best medical care. We've talked about how much this pandemic affects our elderly and that we should pay special attention to our neighbors, friends, and family in these extraordinary times. From all the calls that we've been getting, one of the more common questions is, what diseases make you hospice eligible?
Not that anyone expects to diagnose someone's illness, but we think it's important to be better informed. We're trying to change the image of hospice in our community, and the best way is everyone to have more information. So we're going to go through some of the illnesses that are hospice eligible. There may be some listeners today that didn't know that their condition made them hospice appropriate. And from that hospice appropriate or that hospice eligibility, they could receive a broad range of medical care and in-home care that would make their life better.
That's especially important to point out that it's not just hospice care that the information that we're willing to provide. We help seniors find all the community resources that are available to them. And so each of these illnesses that we bring up today, most of them have either national or local resources available. Hospice eligible means that someone's condition is life-limiting, and we're going to explain in this program many of the common ailments that are life-limiting.
So when is it appropriate to consider hospice? Well, when cure is unlikely or when the pursuit of cure may be more painful or harmful or distressing, hospice is all about choice, including the choice to continue to pursue cure or the choice to pursue a better life for as long as you live.
And we think it's important to understand that each of these serious conditions, some may be curable or at least there's a potential cure. To speak bluntly, they simply may not be at a stage that is curable. Some are incurable from the beginning, but it may be a long time before there are any signs that there could be a faster decline, that they may be at the point that they become eligible. But we believe it's important to know in advance.
So this could be a very sensitive topic, and we hope that we don't make anyone uncomfortable. If you or someone you know is suffering from any of these, then it is an appropriate time to at least talk about your wishes and goals.
If this is an opportunity to have some discussions with family, allow those you love to have time to come to grips with the potential and then the opportunity to experience the joy if you are able to beat it. If this is an opportunity to focus on what is important, strengthen relationships, make memories, build bridges instead of exhausting yourself over the things that you can't change. If someone can make a choice that leads to the best outcome for themselves, then we are glad that we can have this hard conversation to be had.
So some of the ailments that are that make somebody hospice appropriate, and we're just going to quickly go through a list, and then we'll start talking about them. AIDS or HIV, cancer, stroke, also a cerebral vascular accident, congestive heart failure or any other cardiopulmonary disease, COPD, dementia, liver disease, neurological conditions, and there are many of those, including non-Alzheimer's dementia, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, ALS, Huntington's disease, that list goes on, renal disease, renal failure. These are some of the things we're going to try and talk about. But there are more that can be appropriate.
We're going to try and go through some of these in detail, because if you hear, let's say, MS, and you say, wow, I did not know that MS might have resources available to help our loved ones or caregivers, or we didn't know that there were community or national resources. We're going to go through some of the details, get some facts on the table, and hopefully allow everyone to have some more useful information. We probably aren't going to be able to cover everything in this short period of time, so we really want to answer those questions that you have. Please give us a call at 435-477-6999. Again, it's 435-477-6999. If you still have questions that we were unable to reach today during this period.
So let's get started. And let's start with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a progressive neurodegenerative disease that affects about 5,000 Americans each year. And
someone dies from ALS about every 90 minutes in the U.S.
And these are some hard figures to come to grips with, but patients can expect to live from 3 to 10 years, although most only have a 3 to 5-year life expectancy.
That's a shocking statistic, I think. Most people, let me just read these stats. So most ALS patients die from respiratory failure, usually within 3 to 5 years of the first symptoms. About 10% of the patients will live 10 years or more.
So why would we consider hospice in that case? Because hospice care is highly personalized for the wide range of physical and cognitive challenges and symptoms associated with the disorder. We're not talking about simply dealing with the physical decline of our nerves. We're talking about all the things that those nerves affect. And the decline is going to be different for everybody. So the symptoms are going to be quite broad and different for everybody.
Absolutely, but the support of the caregiver. It's difficult to be a caregiver. It's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job, and yet life is still going on. They still have their day-to-day tasks, their housekeeping and meals to prepare, and then they have this loved one that requires so much support and help. So hospice brings in the medical supplies, the medication. We help with pain management, inpatient care with the nurses and the CNAs coming into the home, helping as much or as little as necessary, whether that's with bathing or preparing meals or just cleaning homes. Hospice can do that. There are also national resources that supply support groups. Mm-hmm. All diagnoses are tough to hear, and sometimes you just need to know that there are other people in the community that are struggling like you are.
Right. So these illnesses bring a lot more issues to bear or issues to deal with than merely a physical problem. As Kaylee said, the family is going to be affected by these things. So hospice can bring great hospice, brings good care to the supporting people around that person, the caregivers, the family, because they have their own set of issues that are going to have to be dealt with. We bring not just medical help, but we bring psychosocial help and spiritual help and all of the other parts of life that still exist and are affected by these debilitating diseases.
I think the community needs to recognize that this pandemic that is surrounding our country right now really does attack those who are immune compromised. And anybody that is facing an illness, like was mentioned, you know, MLS or MS, ALS, AIDS, cancer, vascular disease, COPD, heart disease, whatever they are, they're far more likely to end up catching the COVID virus. And that's not new news. But what's important to remember is that the primary conditions for hospice care will, you know, because they make you more susceptible, you were more likely to need the support and care of hospice and palliative care at this time. It's highly likely that you'll be complicated with secondary conditions like pneumonia, dysphagia, pressure ulcers, and other comorbid conditions.
So what are, for ALS, what are some of the key factors that we can see that would make somebody hospice eligible? And there's two critical factors. One of them is breathing and the other is swallowing. Once those become an effort, then we know that we have come to a point in that decline that that person becomes hospice eligible. So if you're not at that point yet, we still want to talk to you about what can be done either outside of hospice, because there are things that can be done to help support you, or when that hospice appropriateness may come, you may be better prepared to deal with the circumstances.
And we do have resources. Feel free to give our office a call. We have websites and resources that may be able to answer some of those questions and to help you navigate through the diagnosis or the illness that you are dealing with. So do you want to move on to dementia and Alzheimer's, which is a common problem? And there's different types of dementia, isn't there?
Yes. So Alzheimer's disease is a very specific degradation of brain tissue, but dementia can come from a lot of different sources. There's medically induced dementia where it's just from a medication that we might be taking. You know, there are times when we become weaker, our bodies are weaker, that if we introduce a drug, it can have effects on the way our brain operates, and we may not be making the best decisions.
You know, we're dealing with a patient right now that had been on a pain medication for about a year and all of a sudden started showing symptoms of dementia, and it was diagnosed as medical dementia. But simply getting to the root of the problem eliminated some of the effects of the dementia. So we were able to change the pain medication that she was on, and all of a sudden, she has gotten tremendously better with her dementia.
And in fact, a lot of the drugs that she was on had been prescribed to her long ago, but they were for ailments that weren't necessarily affecting her, high blood pressure. Her blood pressure wasn't high, but she had always been on this medication. So in hospice, we were able to look at the entire medical background and look at the circumstances, and we're tracking regularly. When we have nurses go in every week or every other week checking on those things, we can see where the problems might be or where they don't exist anymore.
Good thing to point out here, the registered nurses that come in, they're going to take a look at your medications. And in a brief period of time, they're going to be able to see for themselves, oh, wow, that's interesting. You have these three different prescriptions, and they are all treating the same symptom. So then they can bring it back to the medical doctor and say, hey, I have this concern, which is one of the situations that we are also dealing with this last week. Brings in, 11 prescriptions. Three of them were all addressing blood pressure. Four of them were addressing the constipation issue.
But they were all prescribed by different doctors.
Right, different specialists.
That became an issue because every one of them was trying to treat those circumstances, and because she wasn't her own best medical advocate, she wasn't able to bring that entire prescription list to each of her doctors and say, well, this is what I'm already on. How does your prescription change that? So we talked about that recently, and we'd recommend you go back and listen to that broadcast. If you have any questions about that, or, again, call us. So where does the progression of dementia or Alzheimer's start to become an issue that we can jump in and help? Certainly, if they are hospice appropriate, it's easy for us to say we can jump in and provide a whole host of services. But even before that, whether it's private pay or there may be other resources, you might have some insurance that will pay for some of these things before it gets to that level. But where we're at is when somebody has a hard time walking, they can't dress themselves, they're unable to bathe properly, and maybe they become incontinent. Those are all indicators that they may very well be hospice appropriate.
I think it's important to mention that with all of the diseases, if you find that you are having recurrent trips to the emergency room, it's probably time to at least be aware of the resources available and know that, that we're at a declining stage. Chronic pain, a lot of UTIs. What are some of the other things that
infections.
Constantly
I mean, if we're constantly getting infections and we're trying to clear those up with drugs and that's no longer working, then that's an indication that we're starting to decline.
Right.
And while that's a terrible thing to even consider or to think about, it is the reality. So we need to be able to put ourselves ahead of that and look beyond that and not just get mired down in, well, this is my problem, but okay, if that's the problem, which direction am I moving to get out of that problem or to get away from that being the only thing that I think about?
And, of course, I think we all recognize that a substantial weight loss is also a big indicator of a decline.
Right. So there's plenty of declines. Every one of these is a little different, but we're going to go through these conditions and give some specifics. Again, we probably aren't going to answer everybody's questions. We look forward to the barrage of telephone calls as we try and answer your specific question. We want to do that. We do want better information out there in the community. So along with that dimension, there are some other things that somebody may be going through. Those are often called comorbidities, and that word sounds really bad, but the truth is a comorbidity is any presence of two or more diseases in a patient. That's it. You have a primary issue, and then you have something else. Well, that happens to be a comorbidity. That's all that means.
And it's common because if one organ stops working at its maximum, then other organs have to step up and supplement, and then we weaken all of our organs. And as age progresses, our organs just aren't as strong as they used to be, and so it quickly declines.
Right. So if we have a family member or we ourselves are suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's, and we have some of those other diseases, anything that would fit that we just talked about, congestive heart failure, COPD, stroke, diabetes, renal failure, cancers, all those things, those are all considered comorbidities with us. But we want to be able to make sure that the community understands that there are resources available for all of these things, whether they're resources that may provide a cure, may provide at least answers and eliminate some stress, or things like hospice that may be able to help provide a much better life for the patient and everybody around them.
That's really what it's all about, is bringing a higher quality of life for as long as you're living. It's not about giving up. It's not about saying, I don't want to live anymore. It's about saying, I want to live the best life I can for as long as I have available, spending time with family and helping your caregiver, your loved one, benefit by the resources available through support services.
Okay. So the next one on our list is COPD or lung disease, where we're, having the inability to use our lungs to their full potential. And if that is a condition that is advancing, then that's, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Then we are going to have a decline.
Some of those characteristics: dyspnea at rest or within minimal exertion, dyspnea unresponsive or poorly responsive to bronchodilator therapies.
So dyspnea is a big word for having a hard time breathing or assimilating oxygen, actually getting the oxygen that out of the air that you're trying to breathe. And bronchodilator therapy, those drugs, whether they're steroids or those that we inhale to help expand our lungs and get us more ability to do that. If you've ever had asthma, then you've used a bronchodilator most likely. But at some point, those don't work as well. And when drugs and medical procedures aren't going to solve the problem, then we know that we're on a decline and heading in a way that we want to be you able to make a different set of decisions maybe about what our goals are?
When you find that you have more frequent use of medical services, including hospitalizations or outpatient visits to your doctors due to symptoms of the pulmonary disease, it really is time to start taking a look at your current situation.
And if there's a chronic infection, and pneumonia would be that chronic infection in this case, where we're taking drugs to try and get rid of it, but we're not getting rid of it for life. We are getting it to reduce, then that infection is going to continue and flare up again. And those are the issues that make this a debilitating, life-limiting disease.
And I said it before, but unintentional weight loss of 10% of your body in 6 months is a really big indicator of a decline.
And when your ability to breathe is impacting your ADLs or activities of daily life, where you are where you're unable to do the things that you used to do, whether that was go out for a walk or be able to do things around the house, when you are just exhausted getting up and walking around, then it's going to be an issue that isn't going to go away.
Types of non-malignant, life-limiting chronic lung disease is, of course, COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, emphysema, chronic bronchitis, chronic asthma, pulmonary fibrosis, cystic fibrosis, and end-stage tuberculosis all fall under the lung disease.
And with that lung disease, of course, breathing becomes an issue. And so in hospice, we provide all the things that we can to make that easier. We can provide oxygen, portable and in-home oxygen. And while under normal medical care, there are real limitations as to what doctors want to prescribe for oxygen, because as we prescribe more oxygen, our bodies become more oxygen dependent. So doctors usually are pushing to truly reduce the amount of oxygen to just barely enough to help. But it doesn't alleviate the anxiety. It doesn't alleviate the symptoms. It doesn't alleviate that feeling of not being able to breathe. Hospice, having a different goal of providing comfort, we don't have those same limitations. So we can provide enough oxygen to make you feel more comfortable.
By the way, hospice is access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to a registered nurse who's able to just answer your caregiver questions so that you don't have to run to the quick care or the emergency room when you're in a panic over stressing to breathe. It's, you just pick up the phone and the nurse will either walk you through it or come to your home immediately to help.
And because that breathing is so important to us, and we start to think about it often or constantly when we're having a hard time breathing, that brings its own stress and anxieties. And in hospice, we can provide medications and things that will actually reduce that stress and anxiety. So it does make it easier to breathe. So those are the things that we want to talk about. And we've got a long list of other ones that we're not going to cover today. We're a little short on time. So if we didn't cover it today, or if we did mention some things you have concerns about, but we didn't answer your specific question, we really want you to give us a call. That number, 435-477-6999. It's really easy. Just some numbers on the left and some numbers on the right.
If you have heard one of your diagnoses, AIDS, HIV, cancer, CVA, stroke, congestive heart failure, COPD, dementia, Alzheimer's, liver disease, the neurological conditions like Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, ALS, give us a call. Let us help you find those resources available to assist you at this time of need.
And again, we ask you to ask somebody to listen to this program with you and share the information that we're providing so that the community can be better informed. Thank you again.